It's episode 185 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm yours, Doug.
I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about hodgepodge topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing the results of the Oscars, as well as...
That's the Academy Awards, Doug. They don't like to go by the Oscars anymore.
As well as the movie Greta. And Dirty A will regale us with tales from, what was it called, Monster Mash?
Mad Monster.
The Mad Monster Festival Con thingy in Charlotte from last week, 2 weeks ago.
The Monster Mash.
You can...
Might as well be called the Monster Mash. I guess that's probably already taken.
You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com. Or on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or look for us on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe, or head over to Facebook, search for The Hodgepodge Podcast, and like our page! Unfortunately, we got to start with some sad news today. Found out just before I left work today that Luke Perry died. Dylan McKay himself, he had a massive stroke apparently last week, and he just didn't recover, and he passed away today.
So. Did he, was he on any kind of respirator, or did he just...
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. He was in the hospital, obviously, the whole time. Yeah. But
I didn't know if they, you know, just ended up pulling the plug kind of thing.
I don't know.
Or if he,
I don't know. Yeah. He was, obviously on 90210. He was on Oz as well on HBO. He did some other show, too.
Well, most recently, Riverdale.
Most recently, Riverdale. But I could have sworn, I seem to remember he was on some other show.
Was.
Oh, he did the show... What was that? Wasn't he like in some post-apocalyptic show or something like that?
I don't know.
I don't know. But
I'm not going to claim to be a
Luke Perry aficionado.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you weren't a 15-year-old girl in late 80s, early 90s.
That's accurate.
But yeah, it's too bad.
I was Team Brandon all the way.
Brandon was the nice guy.
He was only 52.
52. I know, it's crazy. And also, if anybody, any music fans out there, the guy from the lead singer of Prodigy, he's 49. Apparently, I want to say it was Keith Fields, I think, or something like that. He apparently took his own life, and they were gonna do like a U.S. tour. Like I had just seen a story the other day that they were like, "Oh yeah, Prodigy tickets are going on sale." I was never a big fan of... I wasn't a fan of theirs, really, so I don't really know their stuff.
Never heard of them.
You know Prodigy.
No, I don't.
Firestarter?
No.
Spike My Bitch Up?
No.
No?
No.
You don't even know that?
No.
If you looked at the guy...
I mean, maybe
know.
If I heard it, I'd be like, oh, okay.
But he was the guy who was bald and had, like, the little spiky hair that he was neon green.
It's a big negative.
Wow, really?
No. No.
God damn.
No.
All right, well... Sorry for you.
I don't know what to tell you. You literally just said that you weren't a fan. And
no, I know.
It's sorry for me all of a sudden.
Because you don't know who this person was.
Yeah.
Sorry for you. And the president's going to jail. So let's talk about...
It's funny you think that'll happen.
Oh, I didn't say he was going to go to jail today or tomorrow. But as soon as he leaves that White House, click, clack, motherfucker.
Yeah, but whenever that could be.
Anyway, it'll be.
This is not a political talk show.
It'll be.
Unless we have donkeys.
It'll be. It'll be in 2021. Believe me, January. We're gonna kick him out. Get out.
Mr. Apples is a cantankerous old cuss.
Did you see Saturday Night Live?
Yes.
And you saw What's That Name?
Yeah, it was funny.
Right. But you cannot find... I found like some fan recorded version of the Justin Timberlake one that they did several years ago with him and Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
That one was the best
same
one.
Thing?
Same game show. That one was the best one. Okay. Where they had the guy... They had... I think it was Taron Killam dressed as one of the guys from NSYNC. And he goes... I was in sync with you, and I'm not you, Joey Fatone, or Lance Bass. What's my name? And he's like, Churdy? Churdy? He's like, you think his name's Churdy?
Bill Hader was. That was weird to me because Bill Hader was in all like so many skits. It's like, wasn't he just hosting? Like, why didn't they just have one or the other host? Like, it didn't.
But Mulaney was funny.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The ejector toilet. The ejector toilet, yeah. And then I liked the cha cha slide where he's John Mulaney is at this all like African American wedding and he's dating an African American woman and he's like, oh, I don't know anybody here, I don't know. And apparently he's like the blackest white man you ever met in your life. Like he went to Howard University, he knows like all these different people at the party, and then but the whole time they're doing this dance called the cha cha slide. It was really fucking funny. It was really funny. It was very strange. Also, the bodega bathroom, which was Willy Wonka.
That was good.
I can't protect you anymore. It was good. Lots of Pete Davidson in this episode. I think John Mulaney has kind of like adopted him to keep him out of trouble.
I think he's ramping up a little more. They're just trying to probably slowly get him back in.
Well, actually, you know what? I take back what I just said because he's probably doing fine because apparently he's dating Kate Beckinsale. So good for him.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I saw that they've been out on.
They showed them in the hockey game. They were like making out at the hockey game.
Okay, well, good for him. Good for him. She's awesome.
Yeah, she is. Quite older than him too. Yeah. All right, yeah. little cougar action going there. And How to Train Your Dragon 3 is winning the box office. I don't care. I can't watch those movies.
I've seen like half of the first one, and not because I didn't like it.
Right. I've heard they're really good, but my thing is like they're
super highly rated. I think 96% is the lowest.
I like him like in movies, but I cannot stand Jay Baruchel's voice. I just can't stand it. So it's like for him to voice the main character is just like it's like nails on a chalkboard. It's like Tobey Maguire when he was the narrator in the latest Great Gatsby. He's like, oh my God. I was like, oh God. I was like, yes. Put a gun in my mouth. So anyway, what else is going on?
Captain Marvel opens this week.
Captain Marvel does open this week. I'm seeing it tomorrow on a free screener in IMAX. So I'll be sure to tell all my friends and spoil it for them.
Are they doing any kind of 3D with this one?
It will be in 3D, not IMAX. Ugh. Not IMAX. The IMAX won't be in 3D, but they are doing 3D screenings, at the theaters. Yeah. But no, IMAX isn't in 3D, thank God. That's the one thing I hated about the previous Marvel movies, when we wanted to go see them in IMAX, and like, it's 3D. I'm like, ugh, God. No reviews yet for it, but the living with their mother white contingent of men have seemed to really hate it.
Yeah, already.
Already.
Enough so that freaking Rotten Tomatoes had to change their policy user reviews before the movie comes out.
Right. What's interesting, because like what Rotten Tomatoes used to have was want to see it, the percentage.
Yeah.
But the problem when you do a percentage is that you see it and it's like 86% don't want to see it. And you're like, oh my God, is this going to be terrible? But when now they've changed it to they have a number of people who want to see it, the actual number. And then when you see it's like 20-something thousand people want to see Captain Marvel on their site. And then you go to something like Captive State, which opens next week, I think that's going to be good.
Looks good.
It's like 200-something. All right. And like that shows you that like if only 20,000 people are going –
It takes into account the user can actually see a populace versus, you know,
right. This vague percentage
of people that actually have looked at that particular movie. Yeah.
Cause you could say, like Captive State, you know,
it could have been 98% of people want to see this movie,
but it's only 200 friggin' people. So it's just like, you know, so I like the new way they're doing it. That's much better. Because
I never paid attention to it anymore.
Well, I don't either that much because, you know, you and I are like, we're kind of like knowledgeable moviegoers. But Joe Blow moviegoer might look at that and might be dissuaded from going to see it. He's like, that might be bad. People don't like that. Because some people go to those sites and they go, I don't care what the critics think. What do the people think? Oh, they don't like it either. You know, so. But now apparently there's a word that trolls are going to try and bomb those sites with bad reviews for after it comes out. It's like, get a life. Yeah. It's like, get a fucking life. Maxim Ultra comes out on April 16th.
Shameless plug.
That's my novel. Comes out April 16th. I was trying for end of March, but it's too tight a window, so I had to back it up 2 weeks. But it's good.
That's good. That is for sure an objective review from one.
I'm not saying the quality of the book. I'm talking about the time it comes out, you asshole. But the book is also
good. So you're saying the book isn't good then?
But the book is also very good.
Right, okay, all right.
I'm doing a final read-through on it right now to make sure all my T's are crossed and my I's are dotted. Yeah, that's basically it.
So,
Let's talk about the Oscars. Best Picture was the favorite. It didn't win the Oscar for Best Picture, but it's the Best Picture of the year. the Best Picture award went to Green Book. There are people who think Black Panther should have won it. I disagree. I mean,
I don't even think it should have been nominated.
But the thing is with Green Book is that it's not that big a surprise because it won the Producers Guild Award, and that's usually a very good barometer on what's going to win the Oscar. So it's not really a big shock.
I thought it was a good movie.
I liked Green Book. I thought it was good. Spike Lee won for Best Adapted Screenplay for Black Klansman, and he and two other guys. It wasn't even like... They were acting like he's the only guy who wrote it. But this was his first in-competition Oscar that he finally won. And he gave a good speech. A lot of speeches were good this year.
And he was dressed like...
Prince.
I would say
a cross between Sam Jackson and Prince.
I would say he was dressed more like Jack Nicholson's Joker when he went to the art gallery.
And he won.
It's pretty much how he was dressed up.
He was. best supporting actress went to Regina King, as predicted. As expected, I should say. Mahershala Ali won Best Supporting Actor. Best actor went to Rami Malek, which he did a fine job in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, you did a fantastic job.
But Christian Bale, for me, was the best. And it's kind of damning when the clip that they show of Rami Malek is Freddie Mercury writing Bohemian Rhapsody, and all he's doing is lip syncing. And you're just like, you're like, that's a bad clip to use. You should use a clip when he's like talking to the band or something like that. Anyway. But the big surprise was that Olivia Colman won Best Actress.
Wasn't a surprise to me, but
she was not expected to win.
Yeah,
she was fantastic in The Favorite and well deserved win. A lot of people were pegging Glenn Close to win, but
I still never saw that movie.
That's the thing. I don't think anybody saw it, and that's the problem. So it's like, you know, with these other award shows, it can kind of get away with it, but like in the Oscars, like they're like, you gotta see the movie, I guess. So, so she lost to Olivia Colman. Olivia Colman she had a great speech. She was really cute, really, really. She was completely blown away. She couldn't believe it. But she was great. Great win for her. Best original screenplay was... What won that? I totally forgot. I already forgot. It wasn't Roma.
Was it not Green Book?
It was Green Book.
Green Book, yeah.
Okay. It was Green Book. A lot of people thought that should have gone to The Favorite. I think it should have gone to The Favorite.
Yeah.
Other awards.
An adapted screenplay.
Black Klansman. Yeah, I mentioned that. Best Director was Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. He also won Best Foreign Language Film. And He won Best Cinematography as well.
Yeah.
And it really was a beautiful movie. Like, the landscapes and everything was very, very
I started cool. trying to watch it, but with subtitles, I couldn't
right.
focus.
But here's the other thing. I was reading Entertainment Weekly. Entertainment Weekly has, like, their anonymous breakdown of the nominees and stuff like that and who they think should win. And they talk to, like, an actor, a producer, a director, you know. And the producer said something that I kind of had to admit myself to. Roma is a beautiful movie. It's also pretty boring. So it's like, I think that's maybe what kind of did it in for best picture. Also, maybe it was just Steven Spielberg stirring up trouble behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Spielberg is apparently going to make, he's going to an Academy meeting. He's like the head of like the directors.
He's got this big speech that he's.
Well, he's basically going to make it so he's going to put forth a rule change that people.
Steven Spielberg will decree.
Yeah. People, the streaming services like Netflix and Amazon and Hulu can't be nominated for Best Picture Oscar if they're not going to have a substantial theatrical run.
Right.
Part of me sees his point, but at the same
time, sometimes a movie is a movie, and if you make a
good
movie,
exactly.
no matter what budgetary constraints you do or don't have,
right.
a movie is a movie.
Is anyone going to tell me that Roma wasn't a worthy Oscar winner just because it was on Netflix?
Right.
I mean, fuck you.
Right.
And then The Irishman is going to come out this year with Martin Scorsese. Now,
Steven Spielberg would tell you that.
Yeah.
Would you tell Steven Spielberg to fuck off?
Yes, I would, because Steven Spielberg doesn't have any fucking problem getting a movie made. A lot of other directors do have that problem. And Ava DuVernay actually came out and she said, I would argue the other way. So I would ask the Academy to actually solicit opinions from other filmmakers, too, that don't feel the same way as Steven Spielberg.
Right.
Because she has had great success with Netflix with The 13th, and now she's doing a show. What is it called? Oh, my God. I totally forgot what it was called. But it's coming out, I think, in May on Netflix. And I was watching the trailer, and I was like, you know, this is going to be – looks like it's going to be good. And then I found out about what it was about at the very end of the trailer. It's about the Central Park Five. And I was like, oh, fuck. I'm like, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
So that'll be a good series.
I agree. I think Spielberg's looking at it a little backwards. Right?
He is.
I get it. I get it that it is infinitely harder to get a movie financed. Mm-hmm. And made, and the whole process is infinitely harder going straight to the theater,
right?
Than it is right now, at least for something like Netflix, which just
they're just throwing money at everybody.
But you know, I'm sorry, a movie's a movie.
Yeah.
And if this movie is a quality movie,
mm-hmm.
A is as good a movie as quality B.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how it's made.
Yeah,
it's just about the audience.
Yep, and yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. But The Irishman, I know, is going to be... Marty Scorsese wants a wide release before it goes to Netflix, so we'll see what happens there. I mean, because they've got to be dumped... With the technology they have to use to de-age Pacino and De Niro and Pesci, they got to be dumping a ton of money into that thing, into that movie. Other Oscars, we kind of got off on a tangent there, but it's related. Other Oscars,
all the
Spider-Man. Spider-Man won for best animated feature.
Yeah,
Spider-Man won for best animated feature.
Beat out Incredibles.
Beat out Incredibles.
Not a big surprise. Not a big surprise.
No, that gained a lot of traction
still,
at the end of the year.
Still, Incredibles had a better story.
Yeah, I agree. But you can't argue all the
sound editing stuff went to Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, which I think was nuts. I mean, you know, there's other movies I think that should have won that stuff.
Yeah.
Just
because it got the soundtrack from a popular
just because they just popped in a Queen CD and just walked away. It's like, you know, fuck you. And it's so funny because, like, you know, they do all this stuff and the Queen and, oh, Rami Malek and he's lip syncing. And then they cut to a commercial or trailer for Rocket Man where Taron Egerton is actually singing. He's actually singing Elton John songs. And it's like, and then actually Elton John kind of tried to, tip the Oscars his way, their way a little bit at his Oscar party where Taron Egerton and he sang Tiny Dancer.
Yeah.
together, which was good. It was a good performance. So that movie comes out in May, Rocket Man. But yeah, that's basically it.
I don't like soft shit.
You're the Rocket Man. It's you. You're the
it's
Rocket
you.
Man.
You're the Rocket Man.
No host. No host. And it actually worked out really great. It worked out really great. I think that they will probably avoid all that drama going forward and just say, yeah, guess what? We're going to do no host again next year. And it worked out fine. Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, and Maya Rudolph were the first presenters, and they kind of did like a soft monologue, which was really funny. They could do that every fucking year, and I'd be totally happy with it. And of course, the sexual tension between Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga was incredible.
Jesus Christ.
Lady Gaga.
Acting!
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Like, literally, you're at the Academy Awards and...
I was Nick Kroll and John Mulaney hosted 2 years back to back. They hosted the Spirit Awards, and I keep watching their 2017 monologue just because it's so fucking funny. And one of the bits in it is that John Mulaney goes, he's like, they're like, why are we hosting this? And Nick Kroll's like, oh well, I was in Loving, you know, Jeff Nichols is Loving, which is an independent film, and Mulaney goes, and I did a self tape audition for Sully. And he goes, you're a great actor, John. He goes, I know. Get your goddamn hands off my wife. See, it's acting. It's pretend. It's acting. It's pretend.
Apparently, he used to do the cocaine.
I know. I know. He's very open about that. He's like, I was doing cocaine like crazy. Yay. So overall, the Oscars, it was a good show. Green Book, while I liked it, you know, I made my list for best of the year, you know, 10 best of the year, but it wouldn't have been my pick at all.
Higher up on my list.
I know. It wouldn't have been my, but it still wouldn't have been your pick either. You wanted the favorite to win.
The favorite was a well superior movie. I don't know. A lot of it's maybe you're comparing apples and oranges a little bit. Because it's...
a period piece. And, yeah. You know, it's,
but...
yeah. But it's a period piece, but there's a lot of modern shit in that movie.
It's a great movie.
Well, they're both period pieces, actually. But when you say period piece, you mean
Victorian era.
Yeah, Victorian but, you know, overall, it was a good show. I enjoyed watching the Oscars. I did live blog, and, you know, that was fun. But I did mention several times on live blog that if Bohemian Rhapsody won Best Picture, it would be the last live blog because I'd probably stop watching the Oscars.
Green Book does just kill me though. As much as I liked it because it was just entertaining, right. It's like, hey, I'm a subverted racist, and then at the end of the movie, hey, I'm a little less subverted racist. That's kind of like the journey that happens there.
What an arc. Let's talk about why don't you talk about your Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash. Yeah, this is a horror convention that takes place in Charlotte every year. Second year I've been. Went last year and met Robert Englund, who's basically my idol, Freddy Krueger, growing up. And
that's disturbing.
Very disturbing, yes, but still. This year I went and had a really good time, stayed the whole weekend, and got to meet Bruce Campbell.
Nice.
This is awesome.
Nice.
Got to meet Danielle Harris, who is known as a scream queen these days. She's started out in the Halloween 4 and 5 and mm-hmm. 6, 2, yeah.
And now you stalked her the whole weekend, didn't you?
More or less.
Good, great, more awesome, great.
Yeah. I don't know if I named everybody, but, you know.
Gage.
Ray Wise. I met Mika. his last name, I don't know.
It's Gage.
But it's Gage.
Yeah, his name's Gage.
He was also in The New Nightmare. He's been on a few things.
Okay.
But yeah.
No fair, Danny.
I met, I'll tell you who's super nice was Captain Spaulding himself, Sid Haig. And he was like a really nice guy. Very personable and kind of chat with you a lot. And then I met one of the bigger names for me that I met was Doug Jones.
Yeah.
Which was really cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
He's very handsy, though. Doug Jones is handsy. He just, like, puts his hands all on your face.
Yeah.
And then, like you see it coming. Like,
it's flu season, bitch.
Like you're in the line and you see him doing this to people and you're like, surely not me. Even though everyone. And you're like, surely not me. And then he gets up to you and he's like pinching your cheeks. And you're like,
pinching your cheeks?
Oh, like rubbing you. Yeah, just all kinds of
things. He needs to get together with John Schneider.
And I'm like, man, you really need some Purell on your table. Because they're like, I'm pretty sure I got sick from you, like, you know, hundreds of people you touched. But he was really nice too, by the way. But it was cool. Got a lot of autographs and photo ops and
nice.
Stuff like that. And bought a couple things. But it was fun. It was a fun weekend.
Now, did you meet Sergeant Slaughter?
I mean, I saw Sergeant Slaughter, but I really didn't need to get in line to meet him. To be honest, I wouldn't have even needed to get in line. I could have just walked up to the table. And been like, but I didn't want to. I was like, I see you. It's fine.
But you did get in line for the Iron Sheik, right? To show America who's boss.
Of course. Nikolai Volkoff as well, you know.
Oh, he was in too. No, okay.
I think he's dead.
I think he might be right.
But they were both there side by side.
Nice.
You could actually do a photo op with both of them.
Oh, man.
Our friend did that.
Yeah.
He said they were really nice.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure he didn't ask enough G.I. Joe questions of him.
He kind of stalked them.
Oh, he did?
But yeah, all in all, good weekend.
See, that's what I would have done. I would have gone up to Sergeant Slaughter and said, "So, how did you defeat Serpentor?" Right. And he'd probably be like, "I don't even remember what you're talking about."
Now let's get to the deep dive questions. Serpentor or Cobra Commander? Who's your biggest foe?
Serpentor! All right. Let's dive right into this box and talk about Greta.
That's what she said.
Greta is a movie that I thought was going to be good.
Greta is a movie.
The end. That was a great review. Greta was a movie that I thought was going to be good. And it was not.
Yeah, the trailer was... The plot's intriguing.
I will say this. It starts out really, really good. Like it starts out as like a really solid thriller, and then about halfway through, it just takes this turn that you're just like, what? It's like it suffers from stupid character syndrome.
Yeah.
And well,
we're diving right into it. I mean, what I say about it is that every decision made in this movie by every character is solely to drive the plot to where it needs to go.
Right.
It's not trying. It's not organic. It's not.
Right.
It's not like you look at this character and you think, how would this person react? It's,
right.
How do I need this person to react in this scene?
There's no way she would have gotten into that restaurant after she was standing outside watching her, and then she called the cops. Well, she would have gone to her manager.
There's no way that a cop is not at least going to go talk to her.
Right.
When she's standing there across the street for hours.
Right.
Like, you may not be able to arrest her, but
she's
gonna
loitering.
But you're going to go talk to her and say, also, no way the main character is going to keep going back to her fucking house.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. That was dumb.
But again, like, in her best friend, you know,
she was all over the place.
She went from being fickle to being overly cautious to being, you know, it just depended on the scene, what played for the scene. Anyway,
but you know
let's
what,
talk about the plot.
But you know what? But you know what? Her roommate, her character really was fucking hot.
She's really hot.
She's
I had to look her up to see.
She's smoking.
Micah Monroe. Yeah.
What was she in?
She was in one other thing that I knew.
Oh, God. She was in Independence Day Resurgence.
No,
she
was
in It Follows.
One. That's the one, It Follows.
She was but she was in Independence
Day. Lead in It Follows. Yeah.
Oh, she was Bill Pullman's daughter in Independence Day Resurgence.
Yeah, she was the girl.
That movie was the biggest turd ever.
Yeah.
It was so bad. Anyway. And she's going to be...
Speaking of turds.
She's going to be in Shia LaBeouf's autobiographical film. Honey boy. So let's get into Greta. Greta stars Chloe Grace Moretz. there's a, you know, she shows some pictures of herself when she was a little girl. I don't know why there's no Hit Girl pictures of her. I mean, that was a big part of her life. And she,
well, she lost Big Daddy. You want to forget that.
No, she lost her mother. Oh, wait. Were they a gay couple? Yeah. Interesting. I didn't know that. Well, this makes everything all different now. Chloe Grace Moretz plays Frances. Frances. Settle down, Frances. And she finds this purse on the subway. And it has an ID in it. And she goes to this woman's house and delivers the purse. And the owner of the purse is Isabel Huppert, who plays Greta. And she is very thankful. And Chloe Grace Moretz's character, her mother passed away a year before. So she's kind of seeking a mother figure. And the two of them form this friendship, basically.
And, within days.
Within days. they're humping each other on the bed. And
yeah.
They it's the subject of so many pornos. They become friends, and everything seems fine. Her roommate, like we said, played by Micah Monroe, thinks it's kind of weird. Also, her family's freaking loaded because they live in this sweet ass apartment that nobody could ever afford in New York, and she's. Kind
and
of like,
and of course, she's not a New Yorker. She's, you know, right. Just moved to New York.
Right,
she's
of like course. This, she's yeah, like, she, yeah, she's like she's from like Wisconsin or some shit.
Midwestern.
Yeah.
Very wholesome.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently you need that to happen, I guess, for this plot to work.
Right.
Because anybody who's savvy at all would have been like, yeah, we're getting out of here. But what happens is one night when she's having dinner over at Greta's house, she goes into a cabinet to find some candles, and what does she find?
Dead bodies. Oh.
Multiple of the purses that she found on the subway, and it has girls' names on the backs. So basically, this lady is like some kind of like catfisher or something like that, yeah. And she's bringing in victims.
And that's all seen in the trailer. That.
Right, that's all in the trailer. And then it becomes a pretty decent thriller, because obviously Frances is like, I'm not doing this. And,
She immediately becomes a stalker.
Yeah, and then Greta becomes a stalker, and she has to deal with that. All very nice setup, and then it just goes horribly wrong. like we said, it's a big case of stupid character syndrome.
Like she's fearful for her life,
right?
So, in being fearful for her life, or at least fearful of, you know, I don't know if she was, maybe, you know, she was fearful, I think that's safe
yeah.
to say.
Yeah.
But not enough to go check on the dog that
yeah.
she got with Greta because she
yeah.
was worried that
yeah,
the dog
horseshit.
Might get hurt.
That's horseshit.
No, I'm sorry.
No, you would be,
you'd
like,
be like,
fuck that.
Good luck with that dog.
Yeah.
You'd call them and say, hey, I'm worried about this dog.
Yeah,
you'd
call,
you
like,
call the
yeah.
animal control
right.
or the people that... You don't go there.
Yeah, like
to check
ASPCA.
Yeah, you don't
yeah.
go there to check on the dog. Give me a break.
No, that was dumb. And
not as dumb as the end.
Yeah, yeah, that was stupid.
Which you Let's, know, I, all right, which, so, which I had pegged, by the way, as soon as it cut to the subway again.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, all right. Let's get into spoilers because about halfway to about maybe 2/3 of the way through this movie. It's when it goes completely off the rails. Greta basically breaks into Frances's apartment and then drugs her, and then she takes her to her house
somehow. I mean, you know, like I'm not saying that Frances. I mean she. She was not completely unconscious, like
right.
So she was acting like Greta was acting like she was drunk, but still Greta would have to support her whole weight.
Well,
I mean,
we're gonna get to that in a second. Right. So she drugs her with some shit, and then she basically takes her back to her house. And apparently, there's a secret room behind her piano, and she puts her in this room. Now, earlier in the movie, when Frances first goes to
the
visit
first
her.
Day she visits her, first she day heard she,
there's some
noises.
Banging. There's some banging, and Greta claims it's the neighbors. Well, clearly, no, there was some other girl in there. Clearly, right. And so what she does is she locks Francis in this.
Also, if you look at the outside of the place, I'm not sure there's any neighbors could have been. Yeah, or
she's a stupid.
Anyway.
She's stupid. She's anyway. Very trusting girl.
Anyway,
so then she locks her in like a toy chest kind of thing. And then
the hope chest.
Right, sure. And what happens is, and this is the part, this is the part where I just started almost screaming at the movie. Frances wakes up, she's locked in this box. So of course she's going to be freaked out, right? If you're freaked out and she was having nightmares where like she got kidnapped. So if you're that freaked out,
they did this whole Inception nightmare.
Where so if you're that freaked out, and then the top of the thing opens, and she's wide awake now. She's wide awake. She's not doped up or anything, because after this, she throws a fit in the bedroom. Right. Okay, so if the top opens and you see this woman there, wouldn't your first instinct be punch her in the fucking face
or kick the thing
or kick her or fucking? I mean,
you can argue that. How long she'd been in there, maybe she'd already gotten really tired. You could argue that, I guess.
Whatever.
We don't really know. But here's the thing. Outside of that scene,
yeah,
she's literally, it's not like, the problem is that room has all kinds of blunt objects in there
No. I'll do you one better than that, buddy. On the dresser, there's a little makeup mirror.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Crack that fucking thing and take a sharp fucking stab
her in the
throat.
There's anything. There's all kinds of weapons all
around
her.
To get out of there.
To get out. Even when she's eating, she's got a knife. When she gets her out. But she just sits there and I'm like, what are you doing? And then, of course, you know, the trope of when she does finally decide on a weapon, a rolling pin for some reason, out of all the things she's had.
Yeah.
You know what? You beat that lady senseless.
You beat her to death.
You don't hit her.
You'll just
once,
knock her out.
And then, yeah.
Because you'll go, no jury in the world would convict you if you killed her.
But that's a trope that a lot of movies use.
Right.
Especially
right.
horror/thrillers.
Right.
You know,
but I mean, but in this, it was egregious.
It was.
She had so many opportunities to escape, and she just didn't do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? Because you're just a nice girl and you're not going to kill this old lady? Yeah. Fuck you. Kill that bitch.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. Finally, when she did the rolling pin, I'm like, kick that bitch in the face.
Admittedly, the cookie cutter was great.
Yeah, that was good.
She chopped her finger off with the cookie cutter, which was awesome. But I was like, all right. And then I'm like,
but she knocks her out once and goes, now let me try and get out of this house.
No, you
turn her face to paste.
Yeah, yeah, or go lock her in the.
Yeah,
do what eventually happens anyway.
Yeah, put the piano behind. Put her in the room and put the piano in there.
Give yourself time to figure shit out.
Yeah, exactly.
But
what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
But then the worst part is the very end.
Yeah.
Because
First
of all, at the very end, the screenwriter kind of realizes this and balks at how long she's actually been there.
Yeah.
How long have I been here? A long time. Because they realize they can't really put a time frame on it that'll make sense. Because here's what happens: she's locked in the room.
Yeah,
eventually, hire her dad and her friend hire a private investigator, played by Stephen Ray, to go.
Total waste of his time.
Yeah, to go look into this Greta.
Right.
He goes and looks into her. Hey, guess what happens?
He gets killed.
Why
was she trying to get out of the basement window? Why was she trying to get out of the basement window?
First of all, she goes down
to get out of the house. What are you doing?
Where are you going?
It's like Roy Batty in Blade Runner.
Right.
Where are you going?
So the investigator comes over to the house, and you know Greta's like, "Oh, let me go take care of my dog."
Yeah.
And then he hears Greta behind. I mean, he hears
the dog's dead now.
He hears Francis behind the piano too.
Yeah.
And so he whips out his gun and looks behind the piano. I'm like, if you're a PI, the first thing you're going to do is make sure where that fucking lady's at.
Yeah.
If you have these suspicions like you do when you're whipping out your gun.
Yeah.
You're not going to have, you keep eyes in the back of your head.
Yeah.
But anyway, guess what?
She sticks him with drugs.
The 65-year-old gets a jump on him anyway, right?
And well, he's pretty old too.
I know, but he's a freaking like 250-pound PI. Anyway. He dies. And then,
the dumbest way possible.
And then cut to the subway again.
Yeah.
And there's another bag on the subway.
Because what they've established is that Greta basically gets bored of these
girls. Yeah, sorry. Wait, yeah. So Greta gets bored with them, or they don't cooperate with
right.
her. So she disposes of them. But what she's been doing is she had Francis's cell phone.
Right.
So she would be sending texts to the best friend saying, I'm with
my dad.
She'd send texts to the dad saying, I'm with my best friend.
Right.
And then finally the dad and the best friend
get together
and be like, oh, and that's when they hire their private detective.
And then they hook up.
And that's when they hire their private detective. Right. So after all that goes down, cut to the subway, and there's another purse on the subway.
Right.
You see hands pick it up, but you don't see who. And I looked over at who I was with, and I was like, you know who that is, right? No. You know, that's clearly the best friend.
Yeah.
Of course it's the best friend.
Right.
And it doesn't show her face until the reveal of...
And she has a wig on.
Right.
Because, yeah, now...
Because she has stalked the best friend. Okay.
She has a wig on. And of course that's going to stop Greta from realizing who she is, even though she took about 1,000 pictures of her.
Acting.
On her phone.
Acting.
When she was stalking the best friend to freak out Francis.
She kept sending Francis pictures of like the best friend saying, look who I see. Anyway.
But it's like she has 100 pictures of this girl on her phone, and because like the girl doesn't have like any other disguise on, it's just a wig.
Also, I like that scene in the bar when that's happening, and Francis says, "You need to get out of there." She's there, because earlier she had not earlier like 2 minutes before she messaged Francis, "We're still here. Come hang out with us."
Yeah,
and then when she's leaving, oh, there's no one here. I guess I just need to go out by myself. Anyway,
or maybe just grab like one of the 250 bouncers, people that are in the place, anyone, to help you.
Anywho, she drugs Greta
right.
with some roofies in her tea or coffee right. or whatever, and then pulls off her wig and says, ta-da. And then and then this is my favorite part of all the movies, because I get to hear everyone around me gasping at things that I figured out, you know, 10 minutes before, and they're like, oh my God,
it's Erica.
It's the best friend. I'm like, yeah. A little slow on the uptake, are we? I'm like, yeah, that's the person that loves this movie. And so what gets me about this, and then they take Greta and they're like, what should we do? Oh, I know what to do. And they put her in the box. Here's the problem. You're telling me that instead of going to the police and saying, hey, my daughter or my best friend's missing. Also, the PI that went looking for her at this house
is missing. Right.
Maybe look into that. Instead, I'm just going to twiddle my thumbs and wait on the subway every day until I happen to see.
Yeah,
right. Hey, if she's still alive by then, it'll be make for a great story. like, what are you doing? But everyone was so flippant about stalking in this movie. The police...
Yeah. They were.
Fucking manager at the restaurant is like, she's like, I can't serve her. She's my stalker. Well, she's got her reservations. So.
I know, right? But that's what I'm saying. It's like the minute she was hanging out, she did two things. She was hanging out outside the restaurant. Then she came into the restaurant to harass her.
Yeah.
And then she got a table. After she did one of those first two things, she has pictures of her on her phone. She would have said, don't let this lady in. It's called a be on the lookout list. It's called a BOLO list. Right. You say, don't let this lady into the restaurant.
I don't care what kind of restaurant it is. High class, low class, they will...
Right.
So anyway.
If somebody's a danger to somebody...
this was clearly a very high class restaurant.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So the movie was... It was entertaining. It had some entertainment
value. It was half
a
good movie.
Yeah, it was fun to watch, but it wasn't really a good movie.
No. It was directed by
The acting was good.
I mean, it was directed by Neil Jordan. He co-wrote the screenplay with Ray Wright, who wrote the story. Apparently, he needs some writing lessons because the second half of your movie
I'm pretty
sucks.
Sure I laughed out loud when she was like...
I laughed out loud a lot.
How long have I been in here? She was like, too long. And I was like, of course they're not going to tell you because that would ruin everything that's taken place. If they put a time frame
15
on,
years.
If they put a time frame on it.
So you can go ahead and skip Greta. There is no need to see that.
Not really.
Go see Lego Movie 2 instead.
Oh, yeah, very good. Or, I mean, by this point, you just wait for Captain Marvel.
Yeah, Captain Marvel comes out this week. What? And white men, white virgin men around. Angry white conservative men are going to tremble in fear.
I don't know when that happened, but that's just so weird. It's like, what, a female cannot be a lead without...
It's not that. What happened... No, the thing was is that she was...
Well, it's a no-smiling thing.
No. Well, there was that, too. But she said that she wanted more diversity...
Of course.
...in the people that were coming to interview her for this movie. You know, women, people of color, that kind of stuff. And then she felt the need to have to, you know, to have to clarify her remarks. She says, look, I'm not asking for people to lose their jobs. I'm just, you know, if a white guy comes and talks to me, it's like I'm not going to talk to him. But I'm just saying, I'd like to see, you know, but apparently that's a bad thing in America these days. God forbid you have women and people of color doing shit. Again, I'll go back to Nick Kroll and John Mulaney when they did the second year. They were talking about Me Too, and he goes, John Nick Kroll's like, yeah, it's a scary time for men out there. Oh, we still control everything? We basically still control everything? Oh, okay. I mean, like, it's like, you know, woman actor rightly declares that the majority of the world shits on women, promptly gets shit on by men.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, what do you want? You know, Brie Larson's a great actress. This movie's gonna be awesome. It looks fucking. Every time it pops up on my Facebook, I scroll past it real quick because I don't want to see any more footage from it. It looks like it's gonna be great. I can't wait. If it sucks, we'll be the first to tell you. Because a lot of people talk about the Ghostbusters movie, you know, the Ghostbusters 2016 movie. They're like, oh, you weren't allowed to see that. That was bad. No, because that was a bad movie.
It was a bad movie. Look, I'm really sorry.
That it happened to them. That happened to the four of them. But it was a bad movie.
It really was a bad movie.
It was a bad movie.
And
you know, the last...
I don't even know. Yeah, it's not... I mean, compared to the original Ghostbusters, it was god-awful.
Oh, God,
but
yeah.
But even standalone, it's just,
yeah,
it's just
not,
a
it's
bad
not good.
Movie.
This is a bad movie.
For God's sake, you don't have to... I'm not going to defend a movie for diversity's sake. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It still needs to be good.
The Last Jedi was not a
like,
great
I
movie.
I feel terrible, you know, that... Leslie Jones is upset because they're, you know...
Yeah. They're going to reboot it again.
But it was a bad movie.
It was a bad movie.
You know?
The Last Jedi was not a great movie. I just saw something on...
And by the way, going back, staying there for a second, though. The problem is, it was a bad movie that you can't self-correct in a second one. Because the characters were just
right.
Shitty.
Yeah.
You can't change that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's not like it was good characters in a bad story. It was just a bad movie. I just saw something on Cracked that they had a headline. They said, oh, something, you know, when you realize something about a bad movie that suddenly makes it good, right? And I guess I didn't read the article because I could just tell from the comments. I guess they say that the Jedi...
Oh, I saw this.
In the prequels are supposed to be
inept. If you realize
that
they suck, then...
they're supposed to be inept.
No.
And then all these prequel apologists come out of the woodwork and they're like, oh yeah, blah blah blah. And then I wrote a comment on there and I thought for sure I was going to get flamed by somebody. Nobody, just a few people liked my comment, and I was just like, I said I think it's hilarious that people believe that inept Jedi are the reason why these movies suck. I said. I'm going to paraphrase George Clooney here. You can make a bad movie out of a good script, but you cannot make a good movie out of a bad one.
It's true.
And I said, these scripts are atrocious, and that is why they fail.
Right.
And then, yeah, that's where I'm part six back. The best Star Wars. So, I mean, it's like, I don't want to hear this crap about... The prequels are better than the Disney films. No, they're not.
But look, you can choose to enjoy them.
No, that's right. But don't try and tell me that they're good. That they're good screenplays or good movies. No, they're not. They're atrocious.
They're not. It's not. You can't frame that in the Jedi's are supposed to suck. So that makes this a good movie. Nope.
Those movies are so sterile and so the scripts are just awful. And George Lucas, I'm sorry, he lost his mojo. He's a great idea man. George Lucas is a great idea man, but he's a terrible screenwriter, and he's a terrible director when it comes to actors. Terrible. And Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill will tell you that too.
From my point of view,
it is the Jedi who are evil. Fucking awful. And that'll do it for this episode of the Hodgepodge Podcast. Our next episode will indeed be Captain Marvel. And I have a feeling that Matt King will be here to talk about it.
if he's invited.
If he's invited. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe. But until then, don't go see Greta, and we'll see you next time. See you later.